Welcome to International Edition. I'm Susan Yockey in Washington. Ahead, two big Super Tuesday winners are leading the charge to the White House. New UN sanctions on North Korea are approved. Scientists are examining space travelers for long-term health effects. And the multi-talented Gwen Stefani has a new song climbing the charts.
Her new album, which is coming out March 18th, and it's called This Is What the Truth Feels Like, was inspired by all of these personal events in her life in the last year.
It's right here on The Voice of America. New York businessman Donald Trump and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton have emerged as the big winners in presidential primary election contests in several U.S. states on so-called Super Tuesday. It is part of the process that selects delegates to the Republican and Democratic Party nominating conventions in July before the general campaign leading to the November 8th presidential election. Both Trump and Clinton took at least 7 of the 11 contests, making them the clear frontrunners in their respective parties. Clinton, speaking in Miami, Florida, after her victories, turned her attention from the challenge posed by rival Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders to her likely Republican opponent, Trump, whose theme has been making America great again.
And we know we've got work to do. But that work is not to make America great again. America never stopped being great. We have to make America whole. We have to fill in what's been hollowed out. Now, it's clear tonight that the stakes in this election have never been higher. And the rhetoric we're hearing on the other side has never been lower. Trying to divide America between us and them is wrong. And we're not going to let it work.
Meanwhile, Trump, instead of a post-election victory rally, held a Palm Beach, Florida news conference following what he called an amazing night of victory and returned to his familiar campaign theme.
We're going to make America great again, folks. We're going to make it great again. And, you know, I watched Hillary's speech and she's talking about wages have been poor and everything's doing badly, but we're going to make it. She's been there for so long. I mean, if she hasn't straightened it out by now, she's not going to straighten it out in the next 4 years. It's just going to become worse and worse. She wants to make America whole again, and I'm trying to figure out what is that all about. Make America great again is going to be much better than making America whole again. I mean, our nation is in serious trouble. We're being killed on trade, absolutely destroyed. China is just taking advantage of us. I have nothing against China. I have great respect for China. But their leaders are too smart for our leaders. Our leaders don't have a clue. And the trade deficits at $400 billion and $500 billion are too much. No country can sustain that kind of trade deficit.
To take a look at the big picture of Super Tuesday, we are joined here in the studio by correspondent Catherine Gibson. Welcome, Catherine.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Thank you. So what is the feeling a day after Super Tuesday?
It's excitement. It's surprise. It's amazement. Donald Trump has won a number of states, a number of diverse states across the United States, and he looks to be the likely Republican nominee.
And Clinton, meanwhile, is doing very well.
That's right. She rolled into Super Tuesday. She has all the momentum now. She's also looking to be the nominee for her party.
So, but the game isn't over yet.
Oh, no, no. Certainly, if you ask Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz on the Republican side, they look to stay in it until at least the primaries on March 15th, if not all the way until the summer in the conventions.
And what about Sanders on the Democratic side? He's not doing very well in comparison to Clinton.
No, he's not. But really, for Bernie Sanders, it's about keeping that conversation alive about the important issues within the Democratic Party. And a lot of Democratic voters that I'm speaking to think that that's a good thing. It's healthy for the party.
And, you know, you never know what's going to happen in these races. Donald Trump might say something that finally gets him really in trouble. And Clinton might be caught with something, too.
Exactly. You know, this has been an incredibly unpredictable election cycle already, so I would not be surprised to see something new and unusual happen.
Okay. Well, and one thing that is coming out right now is that some Republicans, That's Trump's party. Some of his own party people are pushing back against him as the nominee.
Right. You know, now that his nomination looks like a real thing, people are starting to look at some of the negatives about Trump, his propensity for saying whatever he thinks, some of his business deals. He has a lot of potential concerns, and people are starting to really look at those with a critical eye and think, this could be our nominee for the president.
And I've even heard that some Republicans are saying if Trump does win the nomination, they're not going to vote for him no matter what.
Oh, absolutely. I'm talking to Republican strategists this morning, and they're very upset with the idea that they're going to have to possibly not vote Republican because they simply cannot think of voting for Donald Trump.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out if he does get the nomination.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, thank you very much for stopping by the studio, Catherine.
Sure, happy to be here.
And it's time to look at what's going on the web today concerning the U.S. political story. And joining me with the details is social media reporter Andrew Palcheski. Welcome, Andrew.
Thank you very much. Well, one of the things I love about social media is that they latch on to kind of these absurd things that happen and they just run with it.
Yeah.
In this case last night, it was New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. Now, Chris Christie was running for president. He dropped out of the race and he endorsed Donald Trump.
Which got him a lot of criticism.
It did get him a lot of criticism on social media. But now he's kind of Donald Trump's, kind of setup man. He introduces him at the rallies and things. And he introduced Donald Trump last night as Donald Trump was giving his victory speech and then stood behind him as Donald Trump spoke. Well, he was making some faces behind him, whether it was unintentional or unintentional, but he looked very unhappy to be there. And a lot of people saying he was realizing what a terrible mistake he had made in endorsing Donald Trump, or thought that he had somewhere else he could be, there was a better place to be. So the hashtag Free Chris Christie was trending, and people were saying, we have to free him. It looks like someone that's been kidnapped. So that was one of those little absurd things that everyone kind of seized on, but it's interesting that people can have this power on social media, and they see Chris Christie up there, and they say, oh, that looks interesting, or that looks funny, and all of a sudden it's a hashtag that's trending throughout the country.
You got to be careful these days, because everybody has a camera.
Absolutely.
You never know when they're going to catch you. Absolutely. He might have just been thinking about dinner or something.
He may very well have been. But, and that's the thing, too, is that even though he was being nationally televised as Trump was giving this speech, candidates are getting caught in the middle of these moments. Everyone now on Periscope or Facebook Live, which we're using here for International Edition, you can get caught in a moment and all of a sudden it's beamed around the world on the internet. So to the candidates, I say be very careful. Social media can be your friend, but it can also be very quickly your enemy.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much, Andrew.
Thank you.
This is VOA.
Here's Science in a Minute.
Researchers developing an ice-proof material are looking to the Humboldt penguin for inspiration. While Humboldt penguins live in a warmer climate, their habitat temperatures do drop below freezing in the winter. Despite cold and wet winter weather, the feathers of these animals manage to stay smooth and ice-free. The researchers say they found that the microstructure of Humboldt penguins' feathers is what keeps the ice off their bodies. Using a scanning electron microscope to study the feathers, the researchers found that along with waterproofing abilities, the microstructure was made up of a web of barbs and tiny interlocking hooks that gave them an anti-adhesive quality which repels ice. The researchers copied the feathers' microstructure to develop a fiber membrane that resists ice buildup and could someday be used in a variety of applications such as outdoor electrical insulation. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
The United Nations Security Council has unanimously adopted new sanctions against North Korea in light of its recent nuclear test and satellite launch. Joining us on the line from the United Nations is correspondent Margaret Bashir. Hi, Margaret.
Hey, Susan. How are you?
Good. Thank you. And you?
Okay.
Good. Hey, what do these sanctions call for?
Well, they are tough new sanctions. Some of them are unprecedented, and they're calling basically for one of the big measures is a mandatory cargo inspection of anything going into or out of North Korea. Before, it was kind of always about things that were suspected to be for the nuclear ballistic missile program, but now it's everything, even food, everything. So you can't hide stuff and sneak it into the country, basically. There's also restrictions on the sale of coal from the DPRK, as well as other minerals like gold and iron ore and titanium, which make money for the DPRK. So this is going to be hard for them. They're going to lose a source of revenue that they were putting on their ballistic missile and nuclear weapons programs. They weren't feeding their people with it. They were using it to have an arms race.
And what is the reaction there at the UN now that this vote has taken place?
From what we heard from the various ambassadors, even the Chinese feel it was time for stronger measures. The Chinese ambassador said that his government had expressed explicit opposition to the January nuclear test and the February rocket launch, and he said that this resolution demonstrates the seriousness of the international community in opposing the further development of nuclear and missile capabilities in North Korea. And the U.S. Ambassador Samantha Power, she pointed out that North Korea is the only country in the world to have conducted a nuclear test in the 21st century. And not only have they done one, but they have done four. And she pointed out, you know, how serious this is to international peace and security, not just on the Korean Peninsula or in Asia, but for everybody, because these are far-reaching missiles.
Was there any surprise at all that Russia did not oppose these sanctions?
Well, Russia doesn't like sanctions in general, but they tend to go along with China, and China tends to go along with them on big issues that are of importance to each other. However, the Russians did delay this vote by 24 hours. We're supposed to have the vote on Tuesday, but it got put off till Wednesday because the Russians had some things they wanted changed in the resolution, and they did get some changes. One was an exception for fuel. There's a ban on fuel for aviation because it can be used for rockets, but they've asked for an exception for civilian aircraft. So, for instance, now the North Korean airline can continue flying in and out of the country. They also asked to have an individual removed from a list of people who are going to be designated for travel bans and asset freezes, and that person is the North Korean representative of a large company in Russia. So they got that. So they did get a few things changed, but they went along with the resolution.
Thank you very much, Margaret. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Susan.
Coming up on International Edition, considering the effects of long-term space travel, and a new song from music and TV star Gwen Stefani. After an unprecedented 340 days in space, American astronaut and Expedition 46 commander Scott Kelly has returned to Earth aboard a Russian Soyuz space capsule, along with cosmonauts Mikhail Korneko and Sergei Volkov, in a parachute landing in Kazakhstan. They were lifted out of their space vehicle and carried to waiting chairs. The 52-year-old Kelly and 55-year-old Korneko arrived together aboard the orbiting International Space Station March 27th of last year and traveled 230 million kilometers, flew more than 5,400 Earth orbits, and experienced nearly 11,000 sunrises and sunsets. Kelly has now logged the most days in space orbit of any American at 520. Spaceflight analyst Morris Jones, speaking from Sydney, Australia, says the space veterans have been subjected to a number of tests and experiments while in orbit and will undergo further testing on Earth to determine the ability of men to withstand longer periods of weightlessness and exposure to radiation in preparation for a manned mission to Mars in the 2030s.
They'll be taking blood samples. They'll be doing standard measurements that you go when you go for a medical checkup, like how are your reflexes, what is your blood pressure, what is the state of your body fluids and your immune system. There'll also be questions like what is the bone density, and they'll be taking probably samples of various body tissue, possibly to check for radiation damage. A lot of that will happen in the short term, but the main studies will also be long-term to see if the effect of being in space for so long has any long-term on the health of these two men.
We asked what we already know about what long-term space travel tends to do to the body.
This is hardly the first time that we've had a long-duration space mission, and a lot of the symptoms tend to be the same. The bones become more brittle, largely because they lose calcium. The immune system weakens a bit. The cardiovascular system changes because the heart doesn't have to fight gravity when it pumps blood around the body. In recent years, we've also discovered that the health of the eyeball tends to deteriorate because of the body fluid shifting around, and it could have some long-term effects on the optic nerve and possibly on the effect of of the astronaut's vision. So bit by bit, as our medical tests become more sophisticated, we're getting a better understanding of not just so much the short-term, but also the potential long-term effects on the body.
How long would a long-term mission to Mars take, coming and going?
Estimates for how long a trip to Mars would last are quite varied. I mean, at the upper end of the spectrum, some of the really whopper missions would take 3 years to make the round trip, and that would include 1 year on the surface of Mars. But we're talking about short-term trips of possibly between 6 months and a year, depending on how long you stay on Mars, and also depending on what sort of propulsion system you use. And one of the big problems that we're discovering with long-term spaceflight, and also with measuring conditions around Mars itself, is that radiation in deep space is likely to be the most serious problem. It's difficult to fight the radiation. You can do it with heavy shielding, but that adds to the weight of the spacecraft. And if the spacecraft gets heavier, then it takes longer to get there, which sort of defeats the purpose because you're in space for longer. And that exposes you to more radiation. So that's really one of the biggest problems that we'd face for a long-term mission to Mars.
Morris Jones says results of the extensive medical testing will be important, but will still fall short of conditions in deep space during a Mars mission, where radiation levels are much higher than in low Earth orbit, and the risk of other dangers like micrometeorites increases. This is VOA.
Health news and notes. This is Living Better.
Celiac disease is an inheritable autoimmune disorder where the ingestion of gluten leads to damage in the small intestine. It affects 1 in 100 people worldwide. Gluten is a protein found in wheat, barley, and rye, and people who are allergic to it must always avoid it. But knowing what foods contain gluten is not always clear. And that's why Shireen Yates of Sensor Labs developed this $200 portable food tester.
You can actually hear the crunching as we put it through.
As Yates puts the pocket-sized tester to work, up comes a result, a frowny face icon indicating that this snack food does in fact contain gluten.
1 out of 5 of the gluten-free dishes that we're testing out in restaurants are coming back positive for gluten.
Peanuts pose another serious allergy threat to some people, and Yates' company is working on a portable tester for them as well. I'm Martin Seacrest for VOA's Living Better.
Gwen Stefani has a new song out, and Larry London of Border Crossings tells me it's climbing the charts.
He's
right here with me.
Absolutely, Susan. It's a song called Make Me Like You, which is a very interesting song title for a young lady who is in the midst of a personal crisis. She went through a divorce in the past year with her husband. They'd been married for about 13 years, have 3 children. And then she began a relationship with country singer Blake Shelton as a result of working on a TV show. They met on the TV show of The Voice as coaches on The Voice, and they started dating. Gwen has admitted she didn't know Blake before the TV show, and they fell in love. And her new album, which is coming out March 18th, and it's called This Is What the Truth Feels Like, was inspired by all of these personal events in her life in the last year.
Well, she certainly has a more complicated life than I do.
Absolutely. She's not only a very talented singer, songwriter, coach on The Voice, she's also an actress, and she's going to be appearing in a upcoming documentary about her life, which is called Through the Eyes of Faith, where she plays herself. And she's a fashion designer. She's got her own line of clothing and cosmetics called LAM, which are her favorite words, love, angel, music, baby.
Oh.
So there you go.
Well, tell me, is it make me like you, or is it make me like you?
It's like make
the same
you
as you.
Like whoever you want to like, whenever you want to like them. But this song was written for Blake Shelton. She recently admitted that. So it's kind of a reflection of really true events in her life, that she maybe was just kind of getting out of her long-term marriage, going through a lot of pain because of her ex-husband's infidelity. And so, she wasn't expecting to fall for Blake Shelton, but that's what this song is about.
Well, let's give it a listen.
I was fine before I met you. I was broken but fine. I was lost and uncertain, but my heart was still mine. I was free before I met you. I was broken but free. All alone in a clear view, but now you are all I see. Hey, wait a minute. No, you can't do this to me. Hey, wait a minute. You're on me like jewelry. I really like it, but I'm
Okay, that's Gwen Stefani with her song, Make Me Like You. And Larry, anything else you can tell us about this very, very busy woman?
Well, I'm sure that when her new album comes out, which is her third solo album, This Is What the Truth Feels Like, Gwen will most likely be out on tour. Here's an interesting tidbit for you, Susan. She was, with her brother Eric, co-founders of a band called No Doubt, who've had many hits over the years. Gwen took a break. The band took a break. The band has since replaced Gwen Stefani. And she didn't know about it. She read about it, but they found another lead singer to replace her. And she's going about her business as a solo artist now.
Well, is she upset when they kind of left her on the side of the road?
I don't know that it upset her. I think that she, with her third solo album about to come out, has paved the way as a solo artist anyway. And the band recognizes that. They took a long break, a number of years. She wrote some new music. 2012, they released a comeback album, which didn't do very well. And so they're going to give it another try. And Gwen is pursuing her solo music, so they figured they can't wait. So they moved on.
Nothing like success to make yourself feel better about something.
Absolutely. Gwen Stefani is absolutely successful and absolutely gorgeous, too.
Okay. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Sue.
We would like to invite you to follow us on Twitter. You can find us at VOA_IE. And you can listen to our program again by visiting voanews.com. Go to the Programs tab and scroll on down to International Edition. Thanks for joining us today.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
After a recent meeting with his National Security Council team, President Barack Obama said the only way to defeat ISIL in a way that lasts is to end the chaos and the civil war that has engulfed Syria for the last 5 years. The cessation of hostilities that was agreed to by Russia, the United States, and other members of the International Syria Support Group on February 22nd, and which went into effect February 27th, is a test, Mr. Obama said, of whether the parties involved are truly committed to negotiations. The process agreed to in Vienna is clear: a transition toward a more inclusive, representative government, a new government, a new constitution, followed by free elections. Acknowledging differences with Russia and Iran on the issue, President Obama reiterated his conviction that Syria's new future cannot include Bashar al-Assad.
It's clear that after years of his barbaric war against his own people, including torture and barrel bombs and sieges and starvation, many Syrians will never stop fighting until Assad is out of power. There's no alternative to a managed transition away from Assad. It's the only way to end the civil war and unite the Syrian people against terrorists.
President Obama said that a political settlement that would end the civil war means that all parties could then turn their attention to the crucial task of destroying ISIL.
And that's why the United States will do everything we can to maximize the chances of success in this cessation of hostilities. At the same time, I want to make totally clear that there will be absolutely no ceasefire with respect to ISIL. We remain relentless in going after them.
President Obama noted that the U.S.-led coalition with its local partners and allies is making headway in shrinking the core of ISIL in Syria and in Iraq. ISIL's control of territory has been diminished. Its leaders have been killed. Its flow of foreign fighters has been slowed. Its finances have been disrupted. The fight against ISIL will remain difficult, said President Obama. But we will continue to draw on all elements of our national power, military, intelligence, diplomacy, homeland security, law enforcement, and the strength of our communities. And I am confident that we will prevail.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.